Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and our roundtable panel. And
oh, you're going through puberty. Oh,
congratulations.
Well, soon you'll have a mustache. It'll be great.
Can't wait for the growth spurt.
Yeah.
All right.
Your mother must be surprised.
Yeah. Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue and Ray Graff is here. Good morning, Raymond.
Hello.
WAMC's Alan Chartek is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joseph.
And political consultant Libby Post joins us. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning.
We have a lot to talk about. It was a very busy day in the polls yesterday, so let's talk about some of these races. And we always welcome your
contact
comments,
Uncle
from
Joe, before
Mount Pillar.
Before we go on, I just want to talk to you about how funny I think Ray is, but you have to listen for it very carefully.
What did he do now?
My mother always used to tell me that Uncle Jack, you always had to listen to the third sentence from Uncle Jack before you really knew what was up. And in Ray's case, when he was doing the weather forecast and saying north of I-90, quote, if you have a map. Now, that's good. That's really good, and you got to think about how brilliant
insight. I'm not even sure why it was brilliant, but darn it, I agree.
Well, it's because, you know, everybody says north of I-90, everybody scratches their head and says, I don't know what north of I-90
right.
is, and you say, if you have a map.
I don't.
Presumably, if you are north of I-90, you know it. So maybe that's why he writes it in that way.
Well, because also there's just so much you can write. I mean, it's either that or how many Whiteface Mountain, icicles there are up in this territory.
All right. You ready to go, Libby?
Yeah, I'm great.
All right. So you want to talk about Charlie Rangel. Ray just talked about the story. Obviously, it is still too close to call, although Congressman Rangel is claiming victory race. So 2,000 votes. I'll tell you, watching the returns come in last night, though, it was up and down. The polls certainly indicated that it would have been more of a trouncing, I guess. But I think they had him 13 points ahead or something like that.
This was an ethnic battle between people of color and the Dominican voters. And there's no two ways about it. We don't like that kind of thing when it happens. But that's where you saw it in the polls. You saw it everywhere. And I think there were some people who just were not getting polled. And I think that was part of it. But what I loved about Rangel, Libby, I don't know if you agree with this, is that in one of the tabs this morning, he was basically shaking his fist and saying, those people who didn't support me will be sorry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what you call good losing.
Right.
Good winning.
One, no. And he's got 2 years to go because he's promised this is it, right?
Well,
this is his last term.
Or as the old D'Amato line goes,
right.
Things change.
Right, things change. But let's see if he takes his wife to France, is what she said in the paper yesterday. He promised her to go to France. So we'll see if that happens.
Poor woman, I don't know.
Right, but above and beyond that, you know, it's a tough district. It's too bad that this race really did get divided down racial lines, and Rangel, you know, said, oh, the only thing he's ever done is be Dominican. And that's really a little
divisive
beneath somebody who has risen above before and been able to create a stature for himself, Charlie Rangel in this case,
sure,
as being above racial politics, and then he got in the gutter. So it was sort of disappointing.
He did. Did he go to DR? Did he own a house there? Wasn't there some kind of scandal?
There was something where he didn't report taxes on
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. But the polling was certainly showing this huge disparate group. So the whole idea was to motivate his voters versus the other voters.
Right.
And of course, you know, his name recognition. And remember how he started. He beat Adam Clayton Powell.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was the big reformer.
Right. And now,
it's so strange how it all comes around.
Well, it always comes around. Because whenever you're a reformer and then you get in, you become
them. You become them.
You become them and you become who the reformers ultimately try to replace. That's why it's so interesting to watch what's going on in the city of Albany.
Yeah.
Because the reformers are in, so let's see how everybody behaves.
Yes, and what becomes of them. And also what's happening, Joe, if just for a second, and that is that there's this amazing thing going on in New York where Mayor de Blasio And some of the others are trying to get the Democrats to retake the Senate.
Yeah,
And he says it's with the governors. They all say the governor met with them and approves this. But there are those of us who suspect that the governor was responsible for this whole thing in the first place.
Well, you mean the new Shidduch compared to the old Shidduch?
Shidduch, for those of you who are out
marriage.
There, means a marriage.
Means
you got
marriage,
the dump button ready.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, you don't have to hit the dump button for that. Yeah. But, you know, yes. I mean, he was responsible for the first little interesting coupling, and now let's see.
So
it'll be interesting.
So does that indicate that there was a change of mind, or they're doing without his consent?
Well, we don't really know, because sometimes you say things, but you don't mean them.
Right.
And you mean the exact opposite of what you're saying. He's been saying he wants the Democrats to control the Senate, and he's going to help, but next year he'll do it. So not this year. So they're saying, no, next year isn't good enough.
Right.
They want it done now. The reformers, because after all, there are more Democrats than Republicans, even though two of them are indicted. Two of the Democrats are indicted, so we don't know what's happening to them and all like that.
So Charlie Rangel, 84 years old, he'll be 86 if he is to run again. And this is just of you talking about going to a level in this particular race, Libby, that perhaps he shouldn't have gone in. But at this point, do you think he cares?
No.
you get to a point where it doesn't.
Well, honestly,
I think as you know,
he cared enough
in both age, experience, wisdom.
Yeah. But he cared enough not to show his very best.
Yeah.
You know, I think he could could have risen above the racial politics here and just talked about his experience and done the retail politics he needed to do. I had read a piece where unnamed consultants on both sides couldn't wait for this to be over because it had gotten so dirty and people were just
done with
it.
On the other hand, while we're criticizing him for not having done his best, he won.
Yes, he did.
And so maybe he knew what he was doing.
I'm not endorsing
he did.
Right.
Yeah.
So in other words, you think there may be a consultant or two who said, hey, listen, if you're going to eke this out, you need to play the race card?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I just want to read
interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead. Right.
Here's a paragraph from the New York Times.
Wouldn't be the first time.
This is true.
Here's
not in the Democratic Party.
From the New York Times article, in a rasping, rambling 45-minute appearance in East Harlem, Mr. Rangel took the stage well before the results were in and proceeded to pontificate on everything from green taxi cabs to outstanding promises he said he had made to his wife. Surrounded by so many supporters that the stage nearly collapsed, Mr. Rangel began asking his advisors to call out precinct counts, even as he was being broadcast live on TV. What the heck? Let's all sweat this one out together, he said.
Good for him. part of the problem, though, is can he deliver anymore?
Well, he's not the chair of the Ways and Means Committee anymore. And, of course, he's not in the majority party.
Right.
And the people in his party have tried to deal with him one way or another.
And getting back to what you said early on, you had alluded to the fact that he had said, well, those who didn't support me will pay, basically.
Yes, basically.
And so does that also extend to the president who...
He said they'll be sorry.
...who did not endorse him? It's not uncommon for him not to endorse candidates,
Well, think about the president. You make a very good point. I mean, this president certainly is aware of the Hispanic vote in the United States. And in fact, we saw how the Republicans got routed in the last presidential election because they didn't care. Now, if he endorses Rangel as opposed to Espelot, what are you talking about in his approach? Are you saying, okay, then I care more about black people than about Hispanic people? So as Mrs. Wick said, he stayed shut.
So will there be some attempt at retribution from Charlie Rangel?
What can he do?
To the president. Right.
Withhold support on something, presumably.
To the African American president? I mean, I don't see. I'm sure they sat down and they doped that one out. In my interview with Zephyr.
Teach out.
I asked her whether she stayed up nights worrying about, what Cuomo might do to her. And she said, it's amazing how many people have said that to me, you know, because he has a reputation of playing rough. And she said, but I don't worry about that kind of thing. You know, it's all a very public forum. If something really, I mean, if somebody goes to Rangel and says, I want to put a business up here and I want you to intervene with the so-and-so agency, it's possible he won't do that. But really, what is a guy like that going to do to them?
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about more election results and other stories in the news. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Hyde Hall, an 1830s English country manor overlooking Otsego Lake, offering guided tours 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily, except Thursdays, hydehall.org. Buck Moon Arts Festival, Johnstown. 2 days of arts, workshop demonstrations, performances, music, and artisanal food, July 12th through 13th, at Fulton Montgomery Community College, Buck Moon Arts Festival on Facebook. Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts. Specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero, passive house home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restorations, serving Western Massachusetts, KentHicksConstruction.com. And Terrapin Restaurant Bistro Bar, Rhinebeck, New York. Serving local organic food sourced from Hudson Valley Farms, TerrapinRestaurant.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. And do we get any letters around?
Nothing yet.
Okay. We're waiting, and we'll wait patiently, as we always do. And we,
sure.
we welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. So let us talk a little bit about some other races, some other results that came in yesterday. There was a Republican primary in New York's 21st congressional district where Elise Stefanik beat Matt Doheny,
yep.
Sizably, I guess it was safe to say.
The papers were calling it very early last night.
Yes, they were. So, what do you make of that race that goes to replace a Democratic Congressman, Bill Owens?
Well, Doheny had his chance.
Yes,
and he invested a lot of his own money, by the way, in this campaign. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, sometimes when you lose a couple of times, people see you as a loser, even though you have only lost by 1,000 votes. And so I think that happened. You know, they've got this young, energetic Republican woman who's in her 20s, right? In her 20s, and who really matched him shot for shot. During this election, it got very, very dirty, and they called themselves all kinds of names.
Yeah, dumped tons of money
for her, and she, of course, was part of the Bush administration.
Right.
So
right.
This is a very close relationship.
Right.
So going to the election now, yeah. you have a three-way race.
You have a four-way race:
Stefanik, Doheny, and you have
the
Green Party candidate,
Matt Funicello, and then you have the Democratic candidate.
Right. You're absolutely right.
So
the filmmaker. So Doheny's not in the race. Excuse me. It is a three-way race.
Well, I think Doheny has another party. Doesn't he have something?
I'm checking that right now.
Yeah.
I think
Maybe not. Okay.
So anyway, the point is, will the Green and the Democrats be enough to split in a very tight...
If it's 18 votes, yes. And we have seen elections with 18 votes, you know, and we've seen elections with one vote, which is why Ralph Nader and I always have had our issues, because when he comes in, you know, the potential for his losing a presidential election in the name of egoism is outrageous.
So let me ask you a question about egoism / principles.
Yes.
Now, when you're running on the Green Party,
we've
talked to Matt in the past, very serious about what he wants to do and his
good
principles.
Good man.
Okay, so doesn't he...
Funicello, not Doheny, yeah. Right?
Right, exactly. Yes. Doesn't he then say, well, listen, I'm standing on my principles, I'm going to run anyway, even though I really don't have much of a shot? This is the Nader question that you always ask.
Well, you know, the other thing is, what kind of Democrat is everybody? So that, as we know, Owens was a very blue dog Democrat.
Right.
You know, and now you have a Green saying, okay, I don't approve of that. I want to bring the party where I want to go. Look, the Tea Partiers are doing the same thing on the other side, trying to make the Republican Party more pure, in quotes, according to their own, the way they see things. You know, people... And I don't mean this in any way to be badly seen by on anybody, but people could rationalize anything they want. They say, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing, and I'm sure it's the right thing. I'm sure there are people in the Cuomo camp who would rather the teach out was not where she is and trying to raise. Because if you go back to WAMC.org and listen to her program with us a week ago, in which she laid out what she didn't like about what the governor was doing, she's pretty persuasive, and she could really help to divide the left of the party from the right, and that won't be helpful to Cuomo because you know he wants to run for president. Everybody knows that.
So it'll be Aaron Wolf, Matt Funicello,
right,
and Elise Stefanik in the fall election. And do you think, Alan, this will be a race that the Democrats, given the makeup and given that division, do you think the Democrats will pour a ton of money into it?
Well, I asked Bill Owens that question. He said, no, our guy will win. The Democrat will win. My intuition is no. I think that is a very iffy proposition for the Democrats. It's a historically Republican district.
Right.
Owens, because of his blue dog credentials, the Democrat, did very well up there, enough to win, but not by that much, you know, 1,000 right. votes, something like that.
But that was also a three-way race, too.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, the conservative at that time pulled some from the Republican candidate.
Those who live by the sword, in other words.
Aha.
And then they die by it. Yeah, it's a Republican district. There's no two ways about it.
Well, no, so. In terms of registration, it's sort of 50-50.
Yeah, well, that's nice. But, you know, with the Republicans wanting to shore up some of their base in New York, that's one place they could do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're asking the Allen intuition...
Yes.
The Allen intuition
in
is
20 seconds.
The Republicans have it.
Yes, I agree.
The Republicans have it.
I agree. The Republicans have it.
I got in under the wire.
You did. Dave.
In perfect timing.
18 seconds to spare.
We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our Roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Libby Post making up the group this morning. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we received letters, and Alan will read from them now.
Our regular correspondent, Madman, checks in and says, yes, the football story of the arm that got into the mouth's way. Juicy. Don't forget the zero-grav espresso maker the Italians will be transporting to install at ISS station soon. Leave it to the Italians. Both heard on NPR. Do you have any idea what that means?
Yeah, they're going to put an espresso machine in the International Space Station.
And I see. Right.
Matt Mann is then, you know, and then interweaving that with the story of the cannibalism. And
the World Cup match that was marred by a human biting
mid-game
incident.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what it meant. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we knew that this guy has bitten three people over the years.
Yes.
But there's a long history in sports, organized sports, of biting.
I remember Tyson and Holyfield. That's it.
Tyson and Holyfield and a bit, you know, an ear
else?
That...
Right.
That was Evander Holyfield's ear.
Yeah.
But what else?
He tweeted last night.
I mean, this guy has bitten three people.
Yeah.
So there's that long history for
right.
him.
he has a long history. Yeah, that's right. Okay. And then we've heard from Joel. And Joel says, good morning. From what I read this morning, Doheny is still going to run on the independence line. That's what I was thinking of. The independence
just
line,
like Nan Hayworth,
and will not back down. Stefanik is endorsed by the Conservative Party and is running on that line also. And I apologize if I'm incorrect. Love the show,
so
Joel.
Four way.
That's what I said. Remember, I had said four-way. That was my impression.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think it's
a done deal yet.
Yeah, because as of right now, according to Board of Elections, we have three. But I don't know. So we'll see what happens.
You think the Board of Elections is always right about everything?
No, well, but
is that a shock?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that this is what is being quoted as to who is officially in the race.
We just lost three members from the Board of Elections.
Oops.
Yeah. Whoops.
He'll probably not run, and they'll probably give him something to keep him out of the race.
You think?
Yeah. Because they want the seat.
Boy, do they want the seat.
And they'll do everything they need to do to get the seat. And she is as close to the Tea Party as you can get to make that part of the party happy.
Oh, sure.
So.
Yeah, and down in the Hudson Valley, we have another race that's going to be interesting, as it always is.
There's two down there. Sean Patrick Maloney and Nan Hayward, and then there's Sean Eldridge and Chris
Gibson.
Gibson.
Right. Yeah. Well, so. I happen to think, based on certain things I may or may not know, that the Gibson election is not as contested as one might think, but that the election.
What do you know?
There are rules about in the law that if you say what you know.
Oh, I see.
You know
okay,
what I mean?
Fine. I understand what you're talking about. Yes,
you see, like in polling and other things.
Right.
If you even mention it. So I can't say what I know.
Okay.
But
okay.
How sure are you of this information that you can't tell us what it is?
Well, you know, one is sure. One hears things, and
one
then
might
one
even
processes
see things.
So you think that Gibson then wins easily? Is that what you're predicting?
If you put a gun to my head right now and said, "What do you think is happening over there?" I think Gibson wins.
Okay.
What else do you want to know?
Well, I'd like to know on what you base this.
Well, how old am I?
I'm going to be 73 years old in July.
Yeah,
many years of intuition of having watched these things, and that's what I would think.
Fair enough.
You asked my opinion, and based on the fact that you know I have a PhD and three honorary degrees,
and all
the rest of that stuff. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I think Sean Patrick Maloney is going to win.
Do you?
Yeah.
You mean down in the Hudson Valley?
Yes.
Well, because he has incumbency going for him.
Well, so did she, but...
Yeah, that's right. And that district, by the way, has a history, unlike everything else in America, of throwing people out.
And also, that district is a little more
center-left.
So.
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, you know, they elected her, and she ain't
left-winger. I know, but they elected her in 2010.
Yeah.
Where, you know, down that way, everybody was being rabid, so... I think he'll win, and we'll have to wait to see what happens in the other race.
And you don't agree with me that you think Gibson won't win?
I think...
Remembering, of course, that you're a paid Democratic political consultant.
Right, that's right. Thank you very much.
Full disclosure.
Nobody's paying me lately, so if anybody wants to pay me, then I'll say whatever they'd like me to say. But
very nice.
I think it's going to be tough. You know, I'd love to see Sean Eldridge win. I'd love to see another openly gay member in Congress. And he's got resources to be able to mount a very, very credible campaign. And I think I'm actually going to help raise some money for him here in the Capital Region. But it's not going to be easy because that district is more center-right than it is center-left.
Well, my problem with Chris Gibson is that I really – oh, Chris, I always say the same thing with – I'm sorry.
No, the only other thing is that Gibson has moved to left.
Well, no, he does what he has to do in the same way that Owens moved to the right
and
became a blue dog Democrat up in that district. Gibson has for example, Gibson is very good on boots on the ground, committing boots on the ground. My problem with him is I really like the guy. I really like him. He's a very nice man. My problem with him is that I don't agree with him.
On
some issues for example, he'll vote for Boehner as the speaker right then and there. That's one thing. So in other words, you know, it's an iffy situation. When we go into a voting booth, do we say, okay, on this one, by the way, I don't get to vote,
right,
so it doesn't matter, but do we say, okay, I like him, therefore I'm going to vote for him, even though I have philosophical issues?
Well, that's each person's franchise is that decision. Jack Kennedy got elected based on his personality. You
and
know,
his looks.
And his looks. Everybody, the women loved him. They fell in love with him, you know, and the men wanted to be him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
he still
so,
didn't win.
Well.
No, he won.
He won. And so, you know, well it's really, it has to do with an individual's own commitment to their politics.
Yeah.
In terms of how they vote. Whether sure. or not, well, I like him, he's a nice guy, so I'm going to vote for him, or I like him, but I can't agree with him, so I'm not going to vote for him. I don't vote for anybody who's not pro-choice or pro-gay rights.
I see your
period.
Point.
End yeah. of story.
Yeah.
No, you
I'm
know.
Following you.
And so, you know, not everybody thinks in those terms, and you have your, what they call the values voters, you know, which we're all values voters as far as I'm concerned. We all have values. You know, but they don't vote for anybody who I would vote for.
Yeah. So, you know? So in your experience, Libby, and I just want to make this question.
Yes.
You've never voted for a candidate who does not share your values.
Right.
Who you like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have.
Okay.
And so, for example, in Berkshire County, where I live, you know, there have been people who I didn't like, who I voted for because their politics were right. Before then, there was a Republican who won regularly in Berkshire right. County. Everybody voted for him, and everybody loved him.
Right, Silvio Conti.
And Silvio right. Conti, and he got up on the floor every year and read poetry in a loud jacket. And everybody loved him. Yeah. And he was the old kind of Republican, otherwise known by my mother as the best kind.
Well, as a Rockefeller Republican.
Yeah. Right. Well, she didn't like him that much.
Right. Yes, Joe.
We're good?
Okay. Yeah.
Can we talk about Mississippi?
Sure.
Okay. So with an unusual assist from African-American voters and other Democrats who feared his opponent, Senator Thad Cochran on Tuesday beat back a spirited challenge from State Senator Chris McDaniel, triumphing in a Republican runoff and defeating the Tea Party in the state where the movement's hopes were bright. Mr. Cochran said, "We all have a right to be proud of our state tonight. This is your victory." Mr. McDaniel, speaking in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, was angry. He did not hesitate to say so. "There is something a bit strange. There is something a bit unusual about a Republican primary that's decided by liberal Democrats." He accused Mr. Cochran of abandoning the conservative movement. "So much for principles," he said.
Does anybody understand, because I know you guys are much brighter about this stuff than I am, but how did the Democratic black voters get to vote in this primary? There's some obscure part of the Mississippi law, which is if you haven't voted in the original primary, you're allowed to vote in the Republican primary. As you remember, it was the black voters who were appealed to come in and help the more moderate candidate. And I don't understand what that law says. Do any of you? How did they get to vote in a Republican primary?
"The state has no party registration, and anyone can vote in the Republican runoff who had not voted in the Democratic
exactly.
primary, which was won by former Representative Travis Childers." So if you didn't vote in the Democratic primary because it's a foregone conclusion, then you can then be targeted to vote in the not targeted, but, mm-hmm. but they were, those voters were, to come out and vote in the Republican primary.
Pretty much what I said.
Yeah,
now
well, that
the,
is.
Now the question is, well, will Cochran have a more sympathetic approach to the voters who saved his hash? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now that they've mm-hmm. come out and elected him. But, you know, it's a long time. 6 years is a long time.
Yeah. Wow. That's a bizarre.
Isn't that a bizarre?
That is bizarre. And I thought New York's election law was a little strange.
Now Mississippi wins this one.
Yeah.
But.
Well, you know, it's made for the incumbent, that's for
but
sure.
What is interesting is that when the ruling party, when the real rulers, not people with just sort of names, decide, okay, we got to make this thing work the way we want it to. And here in New York, 4 or 5 Democrats go over and keep the Republicans in power. In Mississippi, the ruling coalition gets together and says, "We don't want this Tea Party guy. He's way out there. We don't want him." And by the way, that was bad news for the Democrats, who would have had a better chance against the Tea Party guy than they had against the establishment guy. But they managed to eke it out and to do whatever they needed to stay in power.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll return. We'll finish up on these issues and go to any letters we have. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Steve Lewis Subaru, Hadley, Massachusetts, a new and used Subaru dealer serving the Pioneer Valley, Hartford, and Springfield, offering new Subarus plus used cars, trucks, and SUVs. SteveLewisSubaru.com. Historic Hyde Park, presenting Keep the Dream Alive, an exhibition of student artwork honoring Eleanor Roosevelt and the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. HistoricHydePark.org. William H. Buckley Farm, Ballston Lake, New York, offering natural, grass-fed, non-GMO beef, pork, poultry, and eggs. Cafe open Wednesday through Sunday, serving breakfast and lunch. BuckleyFarm.com. And the Green River Festival in Greenfield, Massachusetts. More than 30 bands on 3 stages, plus hot air balloons, entertainment, and more, July 12th and 13th. GreenRiverFestival.com for info.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue, along with Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Libby Post. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And we got letters?
Yes, we got one letter.
We have
said,
letters.
Morning, actually a couple of letters. Morning, regarding the soccer player who bit his opponent. What else do they expect in a sport where you can't use your hands or arms?
You can use your head for butting
says,
the ball,
and
but
then
that's
he says,
it.
Then Gary says, tongue in cheek here. That's very funny.
Yeah, that's
okay. And then Eric says.
But did he bite his tongue? That's what I want to know.
Okay. Are you muttering or are you saying something?
Did he bite his tongue, okay, if it's tongue in cheek?
Okay. And now Eric says, I'm in Gibson's district and more than likable, he's thoughtful, smart, and at least sometimes willing to take a stand against his party's leadership. Absolutely correct. So I have to respect him despite the likelihood that I will vote against him, and that's from Eric in Rhinebeck.
All right. Again, we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. Since we only have a few moments, I will allow, we have Putin, we have the tabloid executive found acquitted, and we also have Turkey and Turkey and Iraq.
Well, let's very quickly do the tabloid, because it's a very,
okay,
it's a very interesting story.
I thought it was a very interesting story as well. And here we go. So this is the British phone hacking case. She rose from being a secretary in Rupert Murdoch's British newspaper empire to running it. She called prime ministers her friends. Then she found herself in the middle of one of the most riveting trials in years, accused of illegally intercepting voicemails and other crimes alongside her husband and her former deputy, who it turned out was also her lover. Bum, ba-dum, bum.
Yeah.
And on Tuesday, cool, in the latest twist in her extraordinary saga, Rebecca Brooks, the protagonist of Britain's phone hacking trial, who more than any other defendant had come to symbolize the freewheeling tabloid press and its proximity to power, was acquitted of all charges against her.
Yes, and wept uncontrollably.
She did.
At the end, and had to be sort of helped away, mm-hmm, after the verdict. One guy took the rap for everybody, and this is a Murdoch thing, of course. So in one of today's papers, I always get confused as to which one I read it in, which is always unfortunate, one of the tabs, they say that Scotland Yard has now decided that they are going to interview Murdoch and his son once again about the whole thing, and that they are indicating to them that they could be targets. In the British sense of this. So one thing you don't ever want to do with a skunk or a Murdoch or anybody else is to...
A skunk or a Murdoch.
No, they're not the same.
Yeah.
Is to tick them off. Is to tick off the prosecutor, which is why often when people are acquitted after prosecutors have gone out after them for years, they are very careful not to say anything really bad about the prosecutors because they'll come back with some. They're always afraid they'll come back with something else.
I was astounded that she was acquitted. The idea that she didn't know. Oh, she wasn't there that day. I mean, you know, come on.
So Libby, as an analyst of feminist issues.
Yes, dear.
I wanted to ask you, do you think that the fact that she's a very pretty woman can affect a jury at all? We're talking real politics here. We're not talking about
foo-foo. It could, yeah. But it's all according to how much of a victim she played during the case and how she used her sexuality in a sense and a perceived victimhood, if she took that on, and whether or not, you know, I don't know what the split in the jury was in terms of men and women.
Well, they acquitted her. The jury had to be unanimous, but, right? I think so, but I don't know about
I don't know how the English law works.
Strange over there.
But I can't imagine that was the factor there. I think that, you know, from a personality point of view, the other guy might have come off to be a little more snarky.
Yeah.
And she came off a little more sympathetic.
Yeah.
But
so just one thing, Ray, and then but her former lover, Andy Coulson, who succeeded her as editor at the now-defunct Sunday Tabloid at the heart of the hacking scandal, and who later became a spokesman for Prime Minister David Cameron.
And they're all running away from.
Yes. Was found guilty of a conspiracy to intercept voicemails. Of the seven defendants in the case, Mr. Coulson was the only one to be convicted.
It's amazing.
And maybe he got convicted because he was a politician.
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just raising some of these.
Yeah.
Potential things. There's a lot of things we don't talk about because they're not politically correct. They're not this or that. You know, the fact that, you know, if somebody happens to be beautiful or pretty. I think she's pretty. I've seen pictures. Haven't you guys?
Well, yeah, but five other people got off, too.
Yeah. And how pretty are they?
I'm pretty sure they're...
I mean, come on.
Raymond. I don't know.
Ray's.
Please help me.
Yeah, I had another. I was going on another line of questioning.
What was that line?
You know, she ran the show. So she had a level where she said, I didn't know about this. If somebody in the newsroom was hacking, would you be expected to know about it and thus take a fall in a trial?
I hope not.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Isn't it possible that somebody in a newsroom could do something?
Oh, sorry. So what you're saying, Ray, in your usual cut through the junk stuff, you know, what you're saying is that you think that it's perfectly conceivable she really wasn't guilty.
Right.
Okay.
I don't buy it.
You don't because?
I think if she is the head of this newsroom and
she's the head of the paper.
Yeah, but it was going on for a very long time, and they were getting all of this information. We don't get that kind of information here in the United States. We don't because we don't hack people's phones like that. Well, the NSA does, but it doesn't get printed. You know, so I don't believe that she didn't know what was going on. I think she knew what was going on. I think she was complicit in it. And I'm not quite sure why everything fell on Coulson's shoulders, but I just find it very hard to believe that she didn't know.
Okay, we got a letter. As a resident of Woodstock, New York, I am embarrassed that Chris Gibson, a Tea Party Republican who has voted with John Boehner on every social issue, is my representative. He has not voted on every social issue. If Mo Hinchey hadn't gotten cancer, the GOP would have been able to gerrymander the 19th district into a conservative stronghold. Regards from Gary. Okay. And then we heard from Barack Obama, who says, friends, I need you. and that's what we have so far.
All right. Well, we'll end with the president wishing us well, and we wish you well as well. We'll be back tomorrow. Again, keep the conversation going. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Libby, Alan, Ray, thank you all very much.
And thank you, Joe,
for keeping
us sane.
Thank you all for keeping me sane. You're
entertained.
Listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.